morning. Scripture this morning is Matthew 6, 25 to 33. This is why I tell you, do not worry about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive, or the clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? Isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not plant seed, gather a harvest, and put it in a barn. Yet the Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? Why worry about clothes? Look at how the flowers grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass. The grass is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. Do not start worrying where my food is coming from, or my drink, or my clothes. These are all things that the pagans are always concerned about. Your Father in heaven knows that you will need these things. Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you all these things.
I'm sure most of you have heard the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And even though the song itself does not have a question mark in there anywhere, there's always one that pops up in my mind when I hear that song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Because aren't there some things we should be worried about? Aren't there some things that we should grieve about that make us sad? Certainly the latter is true. There are things that we should grieve about that should make us sad. But I don't know that there's anything that we should worry about. More about that later. Jesus, in his words before us this morning, words from the Sermon on the Mount, are addressed to people who are worried. Many of them are worried literally where their next meal is coming from. Many are worried about whether they're going to have any clothing to wrap around their bodies to keep them warm at night. And he tells them, do not be worried about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not plant seeds, gather a harvest, and put it in barns, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? He says to them, it's a matter of focus. It's a matter of where you direct your attention. That can make all of the difference in the world. The adult Christian education class a couple of weeks ago was looking at the story of Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says to him, bid me to come out and walk on the water to you. And Peter did, and at first he was fine as long as his eyes were on Jesus. But just as soon as he started looking at the wind and the waves, then he began to sink. It's a matter of focus. To what is your attention directed? Don't focus on the wind and the waves that would threaten you. Turn your eyes on Jesus. They give this advice for drivers that are in a skid. Important for us to be thinking about that. I know the snow hasn't fallen yet, but pretty soon, and you know what it's going to be like out there on that first snow. We've driven like maniacs all summer long, just zipping down the highways, waiting until the last minute to brake. That all of a sudden the snow is going to come and the roads are going to get slick, and pretty soon we're going to be slipping and sliding and skidding. One of the old bits of wisdom that they tell you, that if you get caught in a skid, that you are supposed to turn in the direction of the skid. This never made any sense to me whatsoever. I think it was Bill Cosby who said something like this reminded him of saying, if somebody is trying to hit you with a left hook, lean into it. That just does not make any sense at all. The latest advice, if you get caught in a skid, is to look where you want to go. Look to where you want to go, and somehow or other, your body figures out how to get you there. Look where you want to go. Jesus says it's all a matter of focus. If you're worried, don't focus on the wind and the waves. That's not going to help. He said, look at the birds. They're not worried about where tomorrow's meal is coming from. They know there's somebody, someplace, that's going to put seed in the bird feeder. They don't gather into barns. And your Heavenly Father feeds them. If you're worried about clothes, He said, look at the flowers in the fields. They don't spin and weave their garments. But I tell you that not even King Solomon with all his wealth had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. God clothes them. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Don't you believe that God cares as much for you as He does for them? If you're worried about your sins, if you're burdened with guilt, look at the cross. Don't you think the price that was paid there is enough to cover the cost of your sins? If you're worried about death, look at the empty tomb. Don't you see there that death has been defeated, that Christ has been risen, and ultimately the victory is yours through Him who loves you? That there is nothing in life or death that can separate you from His love. And He says, can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? No. Worry does no one any good whatsoever. And not only can you not lengthen your life by worrying about it, you're probably going to make your life shorter by worrying about it. Some sayings about worry. First, by Corrie ten Boom. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Another saying that I put on the sign some time ago, worry is interest paid in advance for a debt you may never owe. Another one, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. And my favorite one of all, by the baseball player Mickey Rivers, and pay attention to this one. This, oh man, if you get nothing out of the sermon but this, get this. Mickey Rivers says, ain't no sense worrying about things you got control over, because if you got control over them, ain't no sense worrying. And there ain't no sense worrying about things you got no control over either, because if you got no control over them, ain't no sense worrying. I think his logic there is impeccable. Brothers and sisters, it is absolutely useless to worry. If you can do something about whatever is bothering you, don't worry about it, do it. And if you can't do anything about what's worrying you, what's bothering you, why worry? There's nothing you can do about it. Worry is absolutely useless, so forget it. Spend your time not worrying. Spend your time counting your blessings. When things are difficult, that's the most important time to count your blessings. Not when things are going well. Then you can just blithely go through life taking things for granted. Everything will be fine. But brothers and sisters, in the dark days, then you need to count your blessings. It gets you in touch with the resources that you need to get you through. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Know that you are a part of a blessed people. As some anonymous author has written, if you woke up this morning and were able to hear the birds sing, use your vocal cords to utter human sounds, walk to the breakfast table on two good legs, and read the newspaper with two good eyes, you are more blessed than millions of those who could not do these simple things. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you are over 30 and either of your parents is still alive, you are very rare. Over 1 billion people are orphans by then. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed. Because the majority can, but most do not. Don't spend your time worrying. Spend your time counting your blessings. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean this in the sense of live your life in denial. I don't mean that we are to go through life with some kind of Pollyannish attitude that bad things never happen. Brothers and sisters, bad things do happen. There is suffering. There is suffering in store for each of us. Be aware of that. Grieve for that. Do what you can do about that. But then let it be. Alongside that grief, let faith and trust come. Your God loves you, and He will get you through. Corrie Ten Boom tells a story about when she was a little girl. Circumstances were such that she happened upon the cold, lifeless body of a baby. And it just struck her full in the face that the reality of death would someday strike her family too. Perhaps her father or mother or sister Betsy would soon die. She anxiously worried about these possibilities until her father came in one night to tuck her into bed, and Corrie burst into tears and sobbed, "I need you. You can't die. You can't." Her father sat on the edge of the narrow bed and spoke tenderly to his daughter. "Corrie," he said gently, "when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" She sniffed a few times and considered the question. "Why, just before I get on the train," she answered. "Exactly." Then he gave her assurance that was to last a lifetime. He told her that a wise God knows when she will need things too. "Don't run out ahead of God," he cautioned her. "When the time comes that some of us have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength you need just in time." And Corrie and her family were sent to concentration camps where she suffered greatly during World War II. She indeed was to experience the deaths of her parents and sister, as well as numerous friends. She was to endure hardships which she could never have imagined as a young child. But the words of her father stayed with her and proved to be true. "You will look into your heart and find the strength you need just in time." Jesus said, "Don't be worried about tomorrow. Today has enough evils itself." Take care of today. Thank God for the blessings of today. Take advantage of the opportunities you have today. Address the problems that you can do something about today. Don't worry about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. God will provide what you need just in time. If there be any here who would like to put their trust and faith in Christ as personal Savior and Lord and do it in a public way, we invite you to come forward and make your desire known as we stand together and join in singing hymn number 102, "Now Thank We All Our God."